ask you is, name something that you really enjoy in life, and then who would you thank for that something? Who do I pick on first? You ready?
I thank you for the holes at my house.
The what?
The holes that I can dig on the mountain thing.
You got sand piles or dirt piles in your yard, right?
Yeah, but it's full with weeds, and then I dig it out.
Nice. So who do you thank for that?
My dad for letting me and for using the tools.
Okay, nice. You want to go next?
I'm thankful for my life because God created me especially for my love and my family. So I'm thankful for God.
Do you want to go? You got something you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for my dad.
For your dad? How about you guys? Anything you want to mention?
No.
Nice picture. Quinn, you got anything? Tell you what, if you're ready in a few minutes, raise your hand. I'll come back, okay? Isaac, are you ready? Where am I? Oh, there I am. What do you like? Can you tell me something that you really like?
You.
Me?
He did say you. He said you.
You like Aaron? And Aunt Lori.
Well, yeah, that's right. Very nice.
That's right.
And Clay.
And Clay, yeah. So what about you? Is there something that, name something that you like, and who do you thank for that?
I'm thankful for Hathan.
And who do you thank for that?
That she's nice.
But who provided that for you? How did you get your new friend?
Who introduced you? Who introduced you to your new friend?
Because we came to this church.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll finish up your answer in a little bit. How about you? Can you name something you're really thankful for? What do you really like?
Camilla.
Her friend Camilla.
Camilla, okay. And who would you thank for that? Who introduced you? Do you remember?
How did you meet her?
Beside the doll head. Is that the...
Where? Where were you when you met her?
Was that at the feast?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, you guys ready? You're not ready.
I'm thankful for her because God helped us have a safe trip to the feast.
Nice. So all in one sentence, he got out what he was thankful for and who to thank. What about you? You got something, Claire?
I'm thankful for God for bringing us here from everything that's been going on.
Got something? All right. Raise your hand when you come to it. All right. Oh, is Isaac raising his hand already? All right, grab your Bibles. We're going to go to Luke 17. And you adults be thinking... But it'll be after the message. Luke 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass as he went into Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Note the fact that they are afar off. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. It doesn't say that Christ got close enough and touched them and healed them with his touch. It doesn't say that they got close enough to Christ that they reached out and touched his robe. Doesn't say that he did anything except tell them to go see the priests. They knew that this wasn't the norm, that he just asked them to do something extraordinary, something that's extreme. Yet they did as he said. Doesn't even say that they questioned him. They turned and started going towards the priests. To understand what's going on here a little bit more, we need to go back to Leviticus 13. So turn there real quick, or click back there real quick. Leviticus 13 and verse 43 says, the priest shall examine him. If the disease swelling is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, which resembles a leprous disease in the skin of the body, he is leprous, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. The disease is on his head. The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head be disheveled. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So now we got insight why these 10 men were standing afar off. And they were calling out loudly to Christ. Because they were leprous. They had visible signs of leprosy on their body. Because they knew this scripture. And if the physical signs on their bodies would dissipate over time, they knew they were being healed or had been healed, and therefore they had reason to go to the priest that would then pronounce them clean, and they could enter back into the camp or back into the body, back into the cities, and start social life again. But because they had this condition visible on their skin, they couldn't do that. They couldn't even approach Christ. They were abiding by the social law, in a sense, or God's law on cleanliness for the moment, and they were staying their distance. But when he tells them, go see the priest, the first thing in their mind was, why? He's just going to send us right back here. But they didn't question that. They obeyed him. And what does it say happens? In verse 14, back to Luke 17, verse 14, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They started walking towards the priest, and all of a sudden, they looked down at their arms, at each other, and it's going away. I'm not itching anymore. I don't have the sores anymore. Look, look. I'm better. When they decided to step into obedience, they also stepped into the miracle of healing. In verse 15, Luke 17, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Yeah, Rick, you got something quick? Yes. I suppose so. So here, this passage that we just read, there's some things that we can take from it. When something miraculous happens to us, do we give the glory to God? Do we? Every single time. Every single time. How often do we chalk it up to time and chance? How about karma? Coincidence? How about this one? I deserve it. I'm a good person. I had it coming to me. Who owns everything? Who gives everything? Who allows everything, and who created everything? Thank you. Yes, our Father. He's the one we need to give thanks to for everything, no matter what the situation is, at all times. Luke 17, verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. The one that returned, he said something to him. He says, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. The one that turned around, came back, and gave thanks, received something that the others did not. He didn't come back, Christ told him that because of his faith, he was made whole. That man's faith was not based upon coincidence or happenstance. It was faith in God. His first faith was the fact that he called out to Christ, knowing something about him, and said, hey, will you please have mercy on me or us? Gratitude produces worship. He turned around and come back and glorified God. We can see that, but now we have to ask the question, so what produces worship? Well, we read that. The miracle produced the worship, right? So what produces the miracle? Anybody? Belief, God, what produced the miracle? Faith, say again. Calling out. It was obedience. Christ said, go see the priest. And the 10 of them decided, okay, it doesn't make any sense to us, but we'll go do that. And as soon as they started walking, a miracle started taking place. It's not the only time in history. Think back to the story of Jericho. What did God say to do? This is the first city in the promised land that they needed to take control over. And God says, go march around it multiple times for 7 days and do it in these specific manners. Well, how does that make any sense? Are shouting supposed to annoy them to death? But they did it, and what happened? It wasn't just that the people died. The walls literally just fell down. It's like two C's above the staff to shatter that kind of glass. If you're a vocalist. What about the parting of the Jordan? They're about to enter the promised land, and God tells them to do what? Put your toes in. He didn't tell them to wait until it parted this time, because they had the opportunity to say, wait a second, wait, we've been here, we've done this before, we wait for you to part the water, and then we walk through. This time he says, no, start walking into the water, then I'll part it. They did, and the miracle took place. We can go back to the first crossing. What did God say? He said, Moses, put your stick out over the water. Do you think this little tiny stick is supposed to do something to this water and that army that's approaching us? This little tiny stick, this is going to do it. Moses, put your stick out over the water. He did. And it parted. So we can think that we've gleaned everything that we can out of this message. This passage, I mean. However, this is a good, I've been on this for a while, and we're going to stay on this. We need to be reading the entire Bible so that we get the whole context of everything. All of God's will, not just our will. Because we can read a verse, and we can make it read the way we want it to read. But when we read the whole scripture, we realize, nope, his will is different from mine. And we hopefully realize that I better get inside of his will rather than my own. So rather than reading just this one passage, we're going to go back and we're going to read passages before and see what's really going on here. Why did this take place? Rick, you got another comment? I don't have the mic back there.
By obedience, but after the 10 were healed by obedience, the one came back and expressed gratitude, which is so good. But then Yahushua tells him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. So I wonder if that tells us anything about the other nine. How does that, do you have anything for us on that?
I might.
Oh, please do.
So, and I, you know, now I'm at a loss as to where it might be in my notes. No, I'll answer Rick's question. So the nine take off. They're healed physically. We know that, right? But look at the words that Christ said to the one that returned. Your faith has made you whole. Not just physically, you're healed spiritually. You get it. You understand what God's will is, and you're trying to walk in that will. You are whole. The other nine, we don't know what happened with them. I suspect they were only healed physically. Being physically healthy can only get you so far, can it? So now let's go back and get earlier into the story. We started out in verse 10, right? 11. Let's jump up now to verse 1 and see what's going on. Luke 17, verse 1, Jesus said to his disciples, occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone to whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. How does that tie into the story of the 10 lepers? Wait, what did we miss here? Because obviously, Christ is in a teaching mode right now. So what is he trying to teach? Here, he's telling the disciples, you know what, as you go on, and he's very precisely talking to his disciples. That means us too, right? Are we not supposed to be disciples? Do we consider ourselves disciples? We are all going to be offended by someone at some time or something. And probably within the body or by those that are in the body. Even though no one should be offending another, it's going to happen. And if it does, forgive them. Disciples consider that for a moment and they go, okay, we can do that. He says, wait. I'm not finished. He says, there's more. If the same person offends you seven times on the same day, you have to keep. Forgiving them. They stop and they think about that for a few moments. And they go, Lord, you're going to have to give us more faith. Is that the lesson that he's trying to teach? That they need more faith? They're not getting what he's saying. Luke 17, verse 6, the Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Remember, Christ told the one that returned, your faith has set you free, or made you whole. And he's telling them, it's not about your faith at this point. There's something else involved. Verse 7 says, woe among you who would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending the sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table. Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves, we have done only what we ought to have done. Pardon? That was Luke 17, 7 through 10. So here he gives the example that as a slave or as a servant, you've got a list of duties to perform, say daily. And throughout the day, you go through your list of duties. Does the master then go out of his way and thank you? Like, oh, thank you for doing that. Or was it just simply assumed that you would do your duties? What he's really saying here is you don't need more faith. You just simply need to start obeying. When me and the Father says something, are you going to do it? Start putting your faith into actions. Walk in God's will and then it will produce miracles. See, when the disciples were listening to him, they thought this is all about faith. They thought that's what he's teaching. Oh, we have to have more faith. He's saying, yeah, faith is important, but no, that's not what I'm trying to get across right now. What he's trying to get across is we need obedience. And then what happens as a result of that obedience? He talks to them about a slave going through the minimal motions. Is that pleasing to us, to the owner, if a slave just simply goes through the absolute minimum that was required of them? Or when someone goes out of their way to go way above and beyond, then we take note, don't we? So Christ is trying to teach them about obedience. We get down here to verse 10, and he decides to add in a live example. Rather than just simply talking to him, he decides to add in a live example as to what he's trying to get across. He says, you know, here's what happens when you obey. And that's when the lepers appear, and he tells them, strangely, go see the priests. The disciples knew what was going on there too. It's like, why is he telling them that he hasn't healed him yet? And as soon as they started walking away, the lepers realized something just happened. But then when the one returns, the disciples realize, oh, he healed them after they started obeying. You know, our Father's forgiveness through the death of his Son is not our only great miracle in our lives. And thankfully, the couple of the kids already brought this up. The fact that we were created is just huge. Something to be thankful for. How long did the Father and the Son exist before we were brought onto the picture, onto the scene? Did they even need to bring us onto the scene? Do we realize what a blessing that was? We weren't brought onto this scene. We weren't created just because we were needed. We were created because we were wanted. And on top of that, he created and blessed us with everything we need for this physical life. But then he took it a whole new level further. He says, you know what? I want to make sure that it's not just this physical life, but an eternal life. How often do we turn back and we glorify God for everything he's doing in our life? Every day, every minute. Continually praising, glorifying, thanking him and his Son for all they do, knowing that ultimately we are being made whole. So I sent out an email earlier in the week saying that we'd go around the room and share our thankfulness in one way or another. So I'm hoping you've got something to share here in a moment. But Tom Baim replied back by email, knowing that he probably wouldn't be able to be here. So I'm going to read his response first, and then we'll go around to you. He says, I understand that during this pre-Thanksgiving Sabbath service, an opportunity will be given for each of us to give a testimony concerning the blessings so graciously given to us by our Creator God. Although I cannot be here in person because of the growing pain associated with the lump that has increased in size on my neck and shoulder, I did want to express my thankfulness in writing as a testimony to God before his congregation. I first want to thank God for bringing the members of the Flint COG into the Lansing Fellowship after our meeting place was closed due to mainly to the COVID-19 issue. Prior to that, the Lansing Church was concerned about its own existence. I believe that God moved us in that direction not only to save the church, but also to ordain Aaron Baker as our new minister. The support for Aaron's ordination was overwhelming, and as he had been active in that capacity for some time and set a good example for us to follow. On a personal note, Aaron has been a great help to us in the restoration of our home along with others in the church that chipped in both physically and financially to accomplish those things that had to be done. There are many thousands that were affected by the flood that didn't receive the type of help that we've got. So I know God has been looking out for us throughout the year. Although this year has been fraught with uncertainty in our nation, we as God's people have been protected from this COVID-19, and we are still able to meet on our weekly Sabbath. Many of us were able to attend the feast this year without resistance from the powers that be in high office. That in itself was a miracle when we consider the growing hatred in our country towards Christians in general. It was as if we came out of this world and fellowship together with our Heavenly Father and our Son, our Lord, for that entire 8 days of the feast and enjoyed the liberty and freedom that God intended for his people. I'm grateful for our calling, which will not manifest itself fully until Christ returns and we become part of his new world's restoration. A project that God began in the Garden of Eden prior to the creation of man and ended abruptly because of man's disobedience to God. I look forward to that time when God will open the minds of those that never understood what true salvation actually means and teach many the way to peace and prosperity during the millennial reign of Christ and beyond. I'm thankful for all of you, my brothers and sisters, who share the concerns for each other as we journey through the joys and sorrows of this life, knowing that one day our fellowship will be with Christ as we become the first fruits to join God's family. I look forward to meeting those that went before us as fellow Christians, all who also overcame the world, and even those who gave their lives for their godly inspired convictions. I'm thankful to my earthly family because there is a great deal of love and concern for each other, even though they have not as yet been called to the understanding that we have. But I am hopeful that their understanding will change in the future through the calling of our Heavenly Father. Thanksgiving is a time we always look forward to. There's still much more to be thankful for since we still live in a nation where we can worship our God and petition him to heal our land. Even though the trials we are put through seem unpleasant at first, we ultimately draw closer to him if we don't give up and don't give in. Being humbled by a loving Father is also a great blessing in which one gains wisdom and the type of character necessary for the future of his saints. And then he closes with Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And give thanks to him. Bless the name. For the Lord is God, good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Yep, I appreciate him sending that. So, now are the rest of you ready? Got something you want to share? Walt, you ready? All right.
How much time do I have?
Like a minute and a half.
Well, this isn't going to work because I got so much to be thankful. I thank God for calling on us and giving us a chance to be part of his kingdom. I thank God for sending his son to walk this earth to teach us his words and his will. I thank our Savior for setting a perfect sinless example for us to follow and then to have him suffer and die for our sins. I thank God for all his blessings, protections, his love, and his peace.
Yes, I thank God for all our protection, and I'm glad we're in this church. So many people don't understand what in the world's going on, but we know. And I also thank God for Walt. We've been together since I was 13 and he was 14. And he's always been there for me no matter what. And I really appreciate everything he's done. So thank you.
Norm?
After Tom's letter, I don't know if we can even come close to all that, but I will try. Of course, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my family here at church. I am grateful for the friends that I have met through here, and I am also in awe of God and his plan, and of his son, my Savior, again, who died for my sins. I'm just in awe of that, and I hope I always am.
Very good. No, I am thankful, too, of all my testimony. I maybe didn't. I know God has directed my life differently now, challenging me for different things, but you know, my life is really good. I'm very pleased with my wife and my relationship with God, and I'm really working on that. Every night I fall asleep thinking about God. That's all I'm thinking about, my relation with God, and I'm just thankful that he's directed my path.
Mel, yeah.
I'm very thankful for our Heavenly Father, our Creator, and his son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for all of you. And Aaron and Lori, 1 year ago, this church was about all done. And they stood strong with faith and kept it going. And very thankful for all of you.
You got anything you'd like to share?
Well, first of all, I thank Jehovah for having many more like-minded individuals to gather with today. And also, I came across something super interesting today. I come from around the area of Flint, Genesee County. I saw that they went live today, and the mayor of Flint was leading everyone in prayer before they discussed some important events. And so I just thought, hallelujah, we're bringing them back to the system. And I'm so thankful for that, for some of the changes that I'm seeing in this world right now. And I'm thankful for everybody else, their eyes being opened, you know, to the truth. That I'm not the only one who's seeing these things.
Good. You want to introduce yourself and your family so the rest of us get to know you a little bit?
All right. Hi, I'm Sean Howe. This is my wife, Shannon. I'm told to introduce myself, so, and my kids. We came from Salel with Craig Elliott. Thankful. You know, honestly, I'd say more than anything, I've really been seeing, especially lately, I'm very thankful for just the silly little minutia that God is always doing things, always good to us, always teaching, always active and near in our lives, even when we're constantly ignorant and arrogant of that.
All right, you said you got another thought?
Thankful that we get to go to this church today and meet new people, and it's kind of, I kind of want to add on, but that God's interested into, like, what we talk about and think, and it's just weird. I am really thankful for that we're all gathered here today to praise God.
Okay. Aaron, you got anything you'd like to share? Everything she said. You guys think of anything you want to share? No? All right. Clay?
Hey, I'm just really thankful for the ways that this church has grown. I think, was it Bill or somebody over there mentioned earlier that about a year ago, this church was pretty much on the verge of dying out. And at the time, I was down in Texas, living with some friends, watching it, and just understanding it and praying hard that, you know, God would do something, that, you know, the church that I've grown up with my entire life wouldn't just die out, that there'd be something more in mind for it, that God had a bigger plan. But not knowing if you would do anything, and if you did, what that would be. And then, you know, now a year later to our doors being essentially overflowing with people again, with little ones running around, and just a diverse multitude of people in here again. It's a huge blessing to be able to see just the ways that God has worked through everyone here to kind of bring everyone together. It's been a huge blessing.
Logan, do you need me to hold your beef stick while you mention something?
No, it's all right. I got it.
I guess I'm thankful that for this country that we live in, even though with all the flaws and whatever that we have, I'm grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy, even though a lot of people seem to take them for granted. You know, we're not living in, you know, grass huts on dirt floors and all that other not so fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am thankful for my husband, my son. I'm very thankful for my calling, because before that, I was lost. Thankful for all of my church family. I love you all. And
thanks.
What I'm thankful for.
I'd like to say thanks and be thankful for answered prayer that God gives us. Each and every one of us, I know God doesn't answer every prayer. I know we wish we, you know, he did. But I think we can see in our lives many, many, many answered prayer, not only in healing, but in paths that have been set before us. I think we can even look in the past before we ever came to understand the truth as we know it today, that God was working in our lives, and that was answered prayer without us even knowing that we were praying for that. And I thank God every day for that, because I can look back and think of that even back when I was a teenager, of God working in my life. So I thank God for answered prayer.
Well, I probably don't have enough time, because several years ago we had a kind of a Bible study on gratitude, and I started a gratitude journal, and I've got like 4,000 or so notations in there. And I pray every day that God will help me to see, to not miss the blessings that he showers on me, because they're just innumerable. I mean, I have hot water at home, I have electricity, I have heat. I can't imagine what my life would be like without that. But more important, I have a very close relationship with the Father and Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. And I've had that since I was a very young child. And I'm so thankful that Jesus understands me. And everything he helps me do every day, when I say I got through the week, I know that sounds kind of blasé or whatever, but I have to write things down because I get overwhelmed. I'm single, I'm 68, and life's not getting easier, it's getting a lot harder. But I write things down, and then I say, thank you, God, you helped me do this and this and this and this. And that's huge to me. So I don't think that anything I accomplish, that I do it alone. I'm thankful, you know, he's shown me that every good and perfect gift comes from God, but not only that, he works out my mistakes for my good. He showed me that. He showed me that even when I've messed up so bad, I still end up on my feet because he's right there with me. I'm so thankful that the church stayed together and we haven't had to close the doors. We don't wear a mask here. We have never missed church, and I don't take that lightly. That's a gift from God, and I do not take that lightly. I got to go to the feast this year, and I got to pay for my own room, which that was miraculous. And I have a new roof on my house, which I would not have known how we were going to do that one. And that's why when I talk about like my muffler, well, that's because I've had, you know, one thing after another that God, you know, our furnace went out. I mean, there's not enough time for me to tell you all. I can sit in my yard and in the garden, and I just have a conversation with God, and I know he's there, and I'm thankful that he's given me a love to garden so that I can make something beautiful that I can share with him, because I know he's put this passion in for me that I like to garden or anything I like to do. He's shown me that those things are gifts from him, and I don't have to feel guilty I'm spending time doing something I like because he's put that in me. That's who I am. And I'm so thankful my son Joe lives with me. That just means so much to me. I'm so blessed. I have such a good son. And I told him, I said, you know, I read Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation. It was in Fred Coulter's letter. And I said, I want to read that on Thanksgiving. And I want us to just talk about what we're thankful in the meal. And he's like right on board with that, that I have some, even though we don't share talking about scriptures all that much together, but that's a good thing. I can sit down with someone in my home and do that. I don't know. I could write a book about all that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the people that God has put in my life over the years that have helped me, have blessed me, helped me, loved me, helped me to survive, and helped to shape who I am. So I don't know, that's probably enough for now. But anyway, and I'm thankful for you all that you are coming here and that you're part of our church, every one of you guys. Whether you're visiting for today or you're here all the time, I am so grateful for that. And I hope I'm a blessing to you too, because you're a blessing to me.
I hope you don't mind if I stand up, but I don't like trying to twist around and looking at all these wonderful people and what they're saying about the Lord. I have everything that God has given me. I'm alive. You didn't know, but I was in a severe stroke 2016, and my children didn't think I was going to live. We had the people praying for me all over. And here I am, and I know I'm here for a reason. years ago, I created some songs, gospel music songs. And I thought that when I was, say, 2016, that was about the time, I thought, I've got all these songs that I have written for the Lord, for His honor and glory, and He gave me the wherewithal or the feeling to create them. And so I thought, I've got to do something about this. So my son got involved, and he helped me get out the information sent to me that I would have to copy and put out and answer all the questions when it comes to having your songs sold, copywritten. And so he got information on the web and whatnot, and he was telling me everything that he was hearing. And he said, Mom, he said, if you send that in, he said, they told me you might not get it back for a year. And I got on the prayer immediately about this. I said, Lord, I wrote this for you and for your honor and glory. I said, please don't let me wait till I get the copy written to every one of them. And I said, I know you can take care of that because they're yours anyway, not mine. And so within 3 weeks, I have every single 10 of them to me, with everyone had its own journal, not as its own journal, but with a journal involved, another thing, but the copyright. And she was telling me about all the things that she's thankful for. You know, there's so many things I could go on and on and on, and I'm sure some of you could do the same thing. But we know that He is with us all the time, that He is guiding us and directing us. If we have, of course, we want that from Him, He knows that, He will do it. So I just wanted to share my little bit with what God means to me. I could go on and on and on, just like the rest of you, I'm sure. But I love Him more than anything. He is my life. He always will be. Thank Him for parents who brought me up in the Word of God, that I was able to find a wonderful husband that was very godly too. And the Lord has given me a wonderful life. I got some wonderful kids that take care of me and that are always there for me. I have so much to be thankful for.
I got a lot to be thankful for. A wonderful mother-in-law. A couple years ago, we weren't speaking, and I asked for her forgiveness, and she forgave me for something that I did, and I'm so thankful for God, and I'm thankful that I was raised in a Christian family. My father was a minister in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he was a wonderful person. And we didn't get spanked very often, but when he spanked us, we learned. And a wonderful mother, I'm just thankful for everybody here. And all the new people, Sarah and Jacob and the kids, I've learned to get to know you and Maria and Mike and Logan. I'm just thankful for all of you and Eric. And Evie. I'm sorry, Evie. I keep forgetting your name. That's part of getting old. But one thing, I am so thankful that God saved my life at one time. I was married to an ex-husband that was abusive physically, mentally, and emotionally to me and my son. This was 30, 40 years ago. And one time we went out hunting, and he gave me his 22, or not his 22, his 42 for shotgun. Anyway, I don't remember, but it was a shotgun, and I don't forget what he had. And anyway, he told me, he says, Linda, go ahead of me. So I went ahead of him. And all of a sudden, I heard a shot, and I heard something go past my ear, and didn't think about it, didn't think that he was trying to kill me. And he had told my sister that he tried to do that. And I know God protected me. And he protected me through that whole marriage, because there was things that happened that I'm not going to go into. But I am just so thankful for his protection, his love for me. Sometimes I get overwhelmed and think, well, maybe I'm not doing this right, or maybe I'm not doing that right. But then, Aaron, you have taught me some things, and Cindy, and I thank you for that. And I thank him for this church that I was able to come, Mom and I both able to come to this church, and I love you all.
This year, I am particularly thankful that God has interest in me, because him and I have been fighting this year. I've been less than happy with some of the situations he's let me stay in. And, he still provides for us when I need him to. And I guess he amazes me that he still has interest in me.
Well, hello and happy Sabbath, everyone. I'm very thankful for, I've been actually thinking of this for a while, and it is the Sabbath that I'm thankful for, because it, God says to seek the Sabbath and to go, to be there. And if you're not seeking or have the thought of to be there anywhere, for me, I wouldn't know you guys, wouldn't have got to know the next person that came through the doors. So I'm so thankful for him instilling that into my brain that you got to be here. I'm also thankful for the my wife raising and rearing seven children that is slowly taming me and molding me. I'm pretty much a Syrian on both ends, so I can get temper, and she's my ice for putting me out. We have a opposite attraction type thing that our poles bring us together, and it's only God's doing. And so I'm so thankful for her, and also the ordination of Aaron, because again, this church wouldn't have survived if we didn't all come together, and that's everybody. So thank you for listening to me.
I appreciate a little humor, so I'll start out by letting you know I didn't do it. I wasn't in town when it happened. But anyhow, that's a common thing among Sicilians, that have encounters with law enforcement. But anyhow, I'm very, very thankful. I was raised Catholic, and that was a real problem, because I was punished for... When I was in seventh grade, I wanted to get to know the Heavenly Father. And I was punished for doing that, for reading the Bible on my own. And that and subsequent efforts, repressive and hostile by the church, caused me to become agnostic. And I drifted, and I went through military service and did a few other things. Anyhow, to make a long story short, I happened to be watching TV one morning while I was waiting for my then fiance to get ready. And Garner Ted Armstrong come on and challenged in his own inimitable, soft-spoken, low-profile way to prove that the Sabbath was on Sunday. And I thank the Heavenly Father that he gave me an inquiring mind. And some may be surprised at that, because to have an inquiring mind, you must have a mind to start with. And so that was refreshing. But I do have an inquiring mind. And so I took his challenge seriously, and I started looking. And I combed the Bible fore and aft, up and down and inside and out, and found that what he was saying was true. There is absolutely no scriptural authority for Sunday observance. And that helped to cement my mind that the Word is the only measure for truth, and that all things must be weighed against that. And that served me real well for all these years. It also led me into the challenge on the name. And I went through a similar process on that, and found that there is not only no authority for removing the name from Scripture, but that it was a sin to do so. For Yah clearly says in a number of places, you shall not alter or remove things from Scripture. And so the Catholic Church and others have led the parade in continuing the false tradition of removing the name from Scripture. So I've been challenged and rewarded by that, because knowing the name, I feel I have a good bit closer and personal relationship with him than I had before. And so I highly recommend that study to everybody. But there's so many times I should have been dead and I'm not. So I oftentimes say, people greet me and say, how are you doing? And I'm saying, well, I'm above ground and breathing, and that's a good start. And that's how I see each day, that a day is a challenge. What are you going to do with it? And so he's always there to help. He says he'll never leave us or forsake us, and I trust that word explicitly, and I praise him for it. And I also praise him for this little gal next to me, who's a spur, oftentimes provokes me to check things out, make sure, like Davy Crockett said, first make sure you're right, then go all the way. And I see a whole lot of people going all the way, and they don't have a clue what they're doing. So I appreciate that very much. She's a good kid. Okay, well, here's your chance to shoot back.
I'll get to it and take a minute. I think, too, I love our Heavenly Father, first of all, and his Son. And I'm very thankful for their plan, or their creation plan, that brought us all here. And I'm also very thankful for the salvation plan that makes it worthwhile being here. I'm thankful for my parents. I had great parents. When I was born, they said I wouldn't live 24 hours. And I wouldn't nurse. So I had a daddy that fed me with an eyedropper. So that's the way I began. And I'm very thankful for both mom and dad. And then also for my husband, because he certainly has brought me closer to Yeshua and Yahweh. I've always known, but now I know better. And I guess that's it.
I knew you'd get to me eventually. I also am thankful for how God has brought this congregation back from, I guess I'd say, the brink when I did not know where it was going. And that I've made some new close friends that I wasn't sure if I would have anymore here in the same congregation with me anymore. I said I wasn't going to do this, but I did. I'm thankful for my family, for my husband, who threw everything, no matter what was said, was going to continue to have services and keep the doors open for anybody who wanted to come, and because of that, now we're all here. For the way that he has allowed God to use him to bless others, and for the knowledge and the skills that God has given me for me to be able to help others and teach others also. And I'm thankful to God for everything that I have.
Well, I'm very thankful for the things that have been mentioned. You know, our family, both blood and spiritual. But I think the biggest thing I'm thankful over the last couple of years is God opening my eyes. And there's scriptures where he talks about people's eyes. They're like they have blinders on. It's right there, but they can't see it. And I look back and I realize there's so much in my life where I had blinders on, whether it was my choice to put them on or God decided to, you know, keep something from me for a while longer. And over the last couple of years, he's allowed me to view the path that he's chosen for me in a new light. It's like he's put a little bit more light on the path. And especially going backwards, I get to look back and go, oh man, you protected, you blessed, you provided in that situation. I didn't even realize it in the moment. And now I see. I'm very thankful for that, because what he's done through that is he's made me very aware that he is very real in his will for me, along with you, and for all of mankind. That whole plan is very real. And we're on this path, we're on this journey. And yes, there's hills that we have to go up and down, but when you look at the whole picture, it's a huge blessing. And as many of you have brought up, you know, the congregation that met here in this room a couple years ago, it was going downhill quickly. And it wasn't me that changed it. It was he that changed it all. He had a plan in motion all along. And hopefully all of us were willing to follow it. You know, and because of that, hopefully we're willing to take a lot more steps forward and not worry about turning back and diving into a comfort zone that we shouldn't be in. The comfort zone should be ahead, where we haven't been before, that he has planned for us. So I'm going to leave you with a challenge. Here a few weeks ago, I challenged you to read the Bible in its entirety over the course of the year. But today, I want to give you a Thanksgiving challenge. A friend of mine came up with a portion of this. Boy, it's probably been 15 years ago or so. We were at the feast talking, and they shared parts of this with me, and I decided to go home and try it. So for the next 3 days, as often as you can think about it, be thankful to God for something. However, there's no redos. So if you thank God for your family today, no, you don't get to add that. You don't get to put it on the list for tomorrow again. You've already done that. Add something new. The first couple of days, hopefully the first, as often as you can think, well, no, I'll say this once an hour. Start off with once an hour at the top of the hour. No matter where you're at, driving, at work, at home, getting ready for bed, in the shower, it doesn't matter where you're at, top of the hour, you thank God for something. No redos. Do that for a couple of days minimum. After a couple of days, it's going to start getting harder. Or somewhere in that, because you're run out of all the common things, right? Your family, your home, your car, your job. And you're going to have to start thinking. About the third day, hopefully you get past that. You realize, oh, there's so much more I can thank him for. So on the third day, not just at the top of the hour, but as often as you can think of it, thank him for something. Do that for a couple of weeks. After a couple of weeks of that, it should now be quite a bit easier for you to find things to thank him for almost every second. But there's an area we forgot about. What about in the times of distress? Something's not going our way. Can you thank him for something? So then the goal is every time that you're frustrated about something, worried about something, scared of something, you stop and you thank him for something about that situation. So if the driver cuts you off, what about that situation can you do to thank God for? You're not dead. You hit the brakes in time. There should be a whole lot there. But the goal here is to get to put, at the end of the month, you have a new habit that you're thankful to God all the time. And what you didn't realize is it wasn't just an exercise on thankfulness, it was an exercise on prayer. That scripture that says, pray without ceasing. At the end of the month, you'll be in a mode where you truly are talking to God, not just hour by hour, but now almost minute by minute. Because you're thanking him for something. And as you learn to thank him for something, you learn to go, oh, there's things I can talk to him about, ask him about, share with him. At the end of the month, this is truly going to transform your life, your spiritual life, your relationship with God to a whole new level that you didn't realize you could be put on. So if you get the chance, try that. And I know Cindy mentioned the journal. I'm not one for writing. If you see my emails, I'm not one for writing. But somebody like Cindy that enjoys writing, journal it as well. But don't miss the opportunity to actually talk to God. You know, he doesn't just want to find your notes laying around somewhere every now and then. Oh, I didn't realize she left that note over there. No, tell him about it. All right, that's all I had. Anybody got anything real quick they want to share? We went way over, and we've got some really good food in the back. You got something real quick. Real quick. Even Isaac said real quick.
It's become my life.
I said real quick. You only had half a second.
Okay, yeah. It's become my habit. Every now and then I'll watch a movie, an old movie. This new stuff is just not on my platter. But in watching old movies, I devote some attention to scriptural messages that may be coming out of this, lessons on morals and so on. And in one recent one, a British film,
There was a phrase that caught me. It was about a dying infantry officer, and he said, to cut it right down, he said, "Live by faith, die in victory." And I thought that was a really neat way to just summarize the whole experience. Was that short enough?
Sure. All right, let's sing one more song, since that is the way that we can glorify and worship him.